Welcome to the Parenting is Hard Work podcast. I'm Dr. Scott Taransky, and I'm grateful to be with you today. And Elena Svetslot's with me. Now, she lives in the Netherlands, and we record these together. I live in America, and I just appreciate working with her. She's a coach, and she has this podcast and manages it all for us. So we love to talk to parents, and our goal is really to help parents with real-life practical solutions that they can put into practice right away. So that's where we're headed again today, and I'm grateful to have you with me again, Elena. Welcome.
Hi, Dr. Scott. Hi, parents and everyone listening. Indeed, very nice to be able to connect again and to be able to share some more practical advice and some wisdom for parents listening to us. I know we have listeners from all over the world, so I just want to give a shout out to all of you listening. As we are heading into the holiday season, I thought it would be interesting and useful at the same time to do a recap over the episodes we have recorded so far. We have more than 50 episodes in our archive, so feel free to listen to all of them and learn more. But I would like to focus today, Dr. Scott, on a recap going through some of the main solutions that we offer as coaches, for example. With the idea in mind that soon the holiday season starts, parents have more time together with their children. So, Dr. Scott, how should we advise someone, a parent, start listening to the podcast, but and they want to get started? They really love our advice and coaching. How do they get started?
Well, I think the first thing we need to do is identify what the strengths are for this child, and then some of the challenges this child faces. So, if we can identify the challenges, say this child has an anger problem, or this child is defiant, or child has ADHD, you know, we identify the problem. And then once we identify the problem, we identify what character-based solutions should we work toward in order to address this problem. So if we're working on self-control, maybe that is going to help us work with the anger issues or the impulsivity. If we're working on peace, that's going to help a child deal with their anxiety. If we're working on a sense of obligation inside of a child, that's greatly going to help a child with ADHD. So we find this target of where we're going. And once we know where the target is, then we define what that looks like and we start moving in a positive direction. That one change makes a big difference in parenting because it moves parents more positively into the work they do with their children. Instead of just relying on correction that says, you did this, so you get that, or I can't believe you're doing that again. Now we're saying we are working on moving in this direction, and that parenting, that positive parenting approach really does a lot to move the whole relationship between parent and child in a good direction.
Yeah, and we spoke in a previous episode about having a meeting with our child and or a moment in which we talk to them about our vision and the fact that we would like to go towards this goal and work together. So that's something that we really encourage parents to do, to sit down with their children and share this and be open about the areas they would like to practice, they would like to train, and where they would like to be. So indeed, a very, very important point to start. And this point, this gives a lot of hope, actually, to parents, the fact that there is a goal, there is a, there is a horizon at the end of the road that helps them move into a certain direction. And I know, Dr. Scott, we have a lot of resources available at the parenting, biblicalparenting.org. You have there a lot of resources. There are also coaches available for a lot of parents that are interested into that. Should we perhaps now discuss more about the specific tools that we offer at as part of our coaching program, and how does that work in the whole parenting program?
Certainly. I think one of the first things we do is we encourage parents to increase relationship. Look for ways to build relationship with your child, because relationship softens the heart. And sometimes the challenges that the child and parent are facing are pushing them away from each other. So it's very important to work on the relationship. Once we got the relationship going, we've had this vision meeting, so to speak, where we're talking about ways, you know, we're working in a positive direction. Then we're going to enter into some structures or some firmness. And this firmness isn't just about consequences. It's usually some kind of practice sessions because we believe that training is more powerful than correction alone. So what we're trying to do is help children practice doing the right thing, not just correct them for the wrong thing. So these practice training exercises are valuable, and we have a number of them that we implement depending on what the need is for the child and what we're trying to work on, what goal we're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, and I think indeed the relationship, it's so fundamental. I remember one of the quotes in your book saying that a relationship is really the base of all that we're going to do forward, whether it's teaching, coaching, whether it's coming with firmness, transferring some of the responsibility back to our children. So I really think spending time together, trying to spend quality time together, learning about each other, learning about the different specific of a child's life and what they're going through, it's so fundamental. Dr. Scott, I really think one of the main, they're all, we talk about seven tools here and they're all very important, but one of the pillars and what I really like to focus on a lot is coaching and teaching, because I know many parents are not so familiar to apply teaching and coaching into their training with their children. Could you perhaps give some more detail into that?
Yes, let me just go over the seven tools because people are wondering what they are. Mm-hmm. These are all tools that we embrace because this is what we found when we studied how God is our Heavenly Father relates to us. So relationship is number one. That's how God relates to us. Having vision meetings with children is great. God, we love it in the scriptures when we see passages like Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. So visioning becomes this very important tool we use with children, helping them see where we're going, not just where they are. Next, we have firmness, and firmness has these structures and activities that we do that create new patterns inside of a child because firmness builds character. Then we go to teaching, as you suggested. We teaching children how to do the right thing. We're giving them more information. In some cases, it's the teaching that really connects with them. Then we have coaching. Coaching is this attitude between parent and child where I'm on the same side as my child and I'm trying to move them forward. Then we have prayer, which is the attaching children to God's grace, because God has grace he wants to pour into our children's lives to manage the challenges that they face. And then the last one is transferring responsibility. Transferring responsibility is what we do throughout where we're helping children move away from this victim mentality or entitlement mentality and recognize that they make choices and the anger is their problem and they can adjust that. It's not so much the things going on the outside, it's what's happening on the inside. So if we help children embrace the challenges themselves, we're transferring responsibility. All of those things are powerful and put together, they make a great solution. So you're zeroing in now on the coaching and the teaching. Mm. Both of those are valuable tools because many times children don't have all the information that they need in order to move forward. I was working just with a family this week, and the challenge that they have is this child's dishonest. He stole some money from parents, or he sneaks around in the to get access to sites on the internet. And if the parents have taken away his phone, he finds one of their phones or borrows a sister's phone or something. And so his integrity is really low. So one of the things we're doing with him as part of a multifaceted approach is the teaching side. We're teaching him about the integrity package and what integrity is and why it's so important in a person's life. And it's foundational to all relationships. And it builds gives you the benefit of the doubt and builds trust. All of those things are very important. And that's the teaching component here that fits in. And then the coaching is rooting our child on. Hey, I know you could do that. You know, I told you to go take a break. I know you're having a hard time here. Come on, you can do the right thing. You know what it is. Let's do it. So this attitude of coaching is also strategic in helping our children make sensitive changes.
Yeah, and it's really worth mentioning that for each of these seven tools, we have a recorded episode. At least in one of the episodes, we specifically zero in on what exactly they mean, how they can be applied. So, yeah, I really encourage parents to go back and have a listen. Dr. Scott, I know transferring responsibility might sound something that not all the parents can really understand. I mean, it can give some sort of, from the title, some sort of information. But What precise, can you be more precise? What does that mean for parents?
Sure. So let's go the way God works with us, first of all. As he speaks through Joshua, Joshua says these words, choose this day whom you're going to serve. There's this sense of choice that Joshua is saying to the people. When Moses is speaking to the people in his sermon before the people go into the promised land, he says, I put before you life and death. Choose life. So there's this power that is given to people to make the right choices and to do what they need to do. Of course, God's grace is working in all of that, but we have a responsibility to repent. That's what Peter said on Pentecost, repent and be baptized in order to receive the remission of sins or to receive salvation. This idea of transferring responsibility is empowering for children, and many children, they don't get it at first because they believe that their problems are caused by their brother or their sister or by their mother or their father. That the reason I'm angry is because of you is what they say. And what we're saying is, no. Your anger problem that you're experiencing is something that's going on inside of you. So children have a tendency to blame or rationalize or justify or defend. And so by having them take responsibility for themselves, or at least in a parenting side, we're positioning ourselves well to have the child take responsibility for themselves. Then the child can actually move forward. You see, a child who believes he's a victim has lost all power. I can't do anything because everybody else has to change in order for me to respond well. And what we're saying is, no, you are responsible for your actions. And as soon as a child takes responsibility for herself or himself, then that child now has power. So we're giving this power back to the child, and it really works well. At first, children have this pattern of blaming, and so they resist it. But over time, we use this very important tool to help children take responsibility, and then we can come alongside and coach them or help them develop a plan for their anxiety, generalized anxiety or fear of the dark or some specialized anxiety. What we're doing is we're coming alongside of them to help them deal with their particular problem. So transferring responsibility is a strategic way that God works with us, and it's a very powerful way that we work with children using a heart-based approach.
Yeah, it's really, really amazing. And I do want to emphasize that indeed, in case even of young children or older children, this is really something powerful that can really benefit their growth in terms of how they look at their future, how they look at their responsibilities, as well as how they look at their responsibilities towards parents or work. So it's something for all ages, even for small young children. The last tool I want to focus on today, Dr. Scott, is visioning. That's because this is a very beautiful, I would call it, tool, because it's so subtle. Yes, it can be subtle, but it's so powerful. And I think many of us as parents don't really use that so much with our children. Would you be kind to share more about visioning with us?
Visioning presents to the children why we're working on this. Now, it does it in a very positive way. So I would suggest that we stand with a child and we say, son, you're doing well in this area of your life. That's great. You're growing in your maturity. One of the things we're going to work on now is this area over here. And here's why. This is going to help you be a better father someday. It's going to help you to be a better husband. It's going to help you do better on your ball team. It's going to help you to you feel better about yourself. Our working relationship will improve. That's all the why we're going to work on this. But this is now what it looks like. And so by sharing with the child the vision for what's happening, often the child goes, wow, I didn't realize. I thought this was just my parents' preference. They had this idea, but now I see why they're doing this, that they're really on my side. Now, I got to say that visioning is a very, very powerful tool in the lives of children, but not all children respond well just because you tell them why. A child who has oppositional defiant disorder, who tends to say no continually, is likely to resist anything you say. So we are going to use other tools like firmness and relationship. But when it comes to visioning, it positions the parent well, that says, look, we're doing this, we're taking these steps because this is what you need in your life in order for you to be successful. That's transferring responsibility and then promoting this idea of vision. And then we're moving in with firmness and saying, this is how we're going to live. We're not going to live the way we were living anymore. Now we're moving in this other direction that's much more positive.
Yeah, and all that is being wrapped up by continuous prayer together and separate with the children. So I think that's also one of the daily focuses that we encourage parents to have together in training their children. And we really actually encourage parents to look at these tools as tools that they have in their toolbox to choose on their child. Their child is unique. Each child is unique, and you as parents are unique. Therefore, it's important to realize that every tool has its time and use, and it depends a lot on your child, on their needs, on the goals that you have for them. Dr. Scott, thank you so much for sharing this with us. I want to encourage parents that are listening to our podcast to take a few seconds and give us a review for our podcast. In this way, we will reach more parents, and that will really benefit a lot of families. There are tools you can find on biblicalparenting.org. Dr. Scott has there a lot of material that you can use, videos, books, everything that parents can be interested in. And besides that, I know there's coaches that are available to help. Dr. Scott, at the end of our episode today, do you have any final thoughts on encouraging parents to get started training their child?
Yes, I think the key here, and that this is what underpins a lot of what we do at the National Center for Biblical Parenting, is the word strategy. So what you're hearing today is a little bit more of what that strategy looks like. I think many parents are caught up with reactive parenting. They see a problem and they just react to it. It's not very strategic and doesn't usually have the strongest results if you're just reacting. But if you plan a strategy to move this child from point A to point B, and then you bring in the tools necessary to bring about that change, and you focus in on the heart, not just on behavior, using behavior modification. Now we're working deeper in the heart. Then we can see some major change in the life of a child. In fact, in our coaching program, we see change, significant change in 8 weeks, because we're using all these tools together. And so even the most difficult of children make some significant changes in their lives. It takes work, and it takes work for the child and for the parent, but strategy is going to be your key word as you're going forward.
Thank you very much, Dr. Scott. And until next time, God bless you.